This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Many thanks to Danny Canal and Charlie Ward, two legends who joined us in hour number one. Odell's coming up here momentarily. Always love having Coach on. And Malik Osborne also making another appearance on the program later this hour as well. But, Wes, before we get to Coach, just very quickly, we'll go through some winners and losers from a schedule standpoint, but major news yesterday from the ACC. So we'll get into all that stuff. But first, let's get to Coach on here. Odell Higgins joins us. Coach, first of all, we always appreciate the time. And before we start this interview, I went old school with it. You know, normally Fridays we do T-shirt Friday on the show. But here's what I got for you today. Right here. Look at that. I was going to go with this one right here.
Yes.
Huh? Sweet, right?
I can't see him. Uh-oh. Yes.
Okay. Coach can't see me, but it's an Odell T-shirt. Florida State
he can't
style.
See you, Pack. Okay. Got the Odell T-shirt.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. All right, let's get to it.
There we go. Yeah.
All right, Coach, let's get to it. Big news, obviously, yesterday, for not only Florida State, but the entire league. What was your initial reaction in terms of the schedule? Notre Dame now joining full-time. Big picture as far as football in the ACC goes.
Well, that's awesome, man. Knowing the kids has been – our kids have been working hard, man. And I was excited because, you know, we're starting a new season and our players been working hard throughout the pandemic. And when we wasn't around, they was working. So, and the good thing about it, our kids seem like they're very hungry and they're working. And the schedule, man, it's a great schedule, ACC
Coach,
schedule.
The aspect of the landscape of what we've got going here with the pandemic and all the challenges this offseason has brought about, what do you think the fall will be like for your football team in that aspect?
Well, I'll tell you, first thing first, Coach Norvell is doing everything he possibly could to make sure everybody's being safe around here at Florida State. He has a great plan. And my thing, we all throughout Florida, throughout the nation, we got to listen, we got to do the right things for this to work. So therefore, here at Florida State, the model that Coach Norvell has here is outstanding. But again, and I said it before, everybody got to do their part. You got to wear your mask, you got to be safe and social distance. Everybody must do their part.
Coach, from a discipline standpoint, it's one thing to have it when you play. It's one thing to have it when you practice. But, you know, having discipline away from the football facility may be more important now than ever before. You just talked about all of us having to do our part, and you're 100% right, because we all want to have sports. We want to have football. We want to kind of get back to what normalcy kind of felt like. But, you know, when you're an 18 to 22-year-old and you're on college campus, man, the temptation to go out and have a good time once you've done your studies and you work in the classroom or the football field or basketball court or whatever the case may be, that discipline is never going to be more important than it is right now. I'm sure you guys are preaching that to the high heavens.
Yes, that's extremely important, not just on our team, for every college team in college football. And that's a part of life. That's growing. 18 to 22-year-old men. Now, we've never been through this. You've never been through it. Neither one of us never been through anything like this. But what we got to do is keep educating these kids throughout the state of Florida and United States. Hey, guys, this is a time if we want to play football, we must do things the right way. Like I said before, social distance, wearing those masks and things like that, doing the right things that's necessary. Discipline is huge.
I tell you what, Coach, it's awesome to have you here because not only is the FSU takeover, but nobody kind of epitomizes what Florida State football has become, not only as a player, later as a longtime coach like you do. I mean, the thing about it is the impact Florida State football has made, and the first show after our program today on the takeover of all the Florida State programming is a documentary for 2 hours called The Bowden Dynasty. And I just... I want to hear your best Bobby Bowden story, to be honest with you, Coach. That's what I'm getting at.
It's one thing. One of the best stories. Okay, at halftime during the game, we're in the lead. Coach Bowden, last word. if they don't score, we win defense. Say that. And he's right. If they don't score, we win the game. I love that.
No pressure, right, Coach? Hey, you know, hey, we got this right. Covered, Odell. You do your job, and we're good to go on that front. By the way, speaking of doing your job, when you go through this roster on the defensive side of the ball, I mean, you're going to be licking your chops a little bit. I mean, you've got dudes on every level, all up front, linebackers, secondary. We've talked to a bunch of your kids in this offseason. But, man, it seems like all the pieces are in place for this to be a very, very good defensive football team.
Well, first of all, you need to start off with give a lot of credit to Josh Storms. Our weightlifting coach is outstanding. Our team looked different. I give a lot of credit to him because he's one of the best I've seen in a long time, what he does on that in that weight room. And, you know, we got talent. Talent doesn't mean anything until you go out on the field and do it. That's the key. Potential, meaning haven't done it yet. And our kids, they chopping up the bits. They working hard. We pushing them because Norvell expectation and standards are unreal. I love it because he expect perfection. You know, nobody's perfect, but you're shooting for perfection. If you don't get it, you're going to be an excellent or great. So, therefore, the kids are working hard. We're looking in together. And Coach Adam Fuller is putting together a good scheme and understanding the scheme and the progression of the scheme.
Coach, I want to ask you about Marvin Wilson. We just talked with Danny Cannell and Charlie Ward on this program about just the individual leadership that Marvin Wilson has put on this football team. You and I talked last year in your first game as the interim at Boston College, and that was the week that he had gone down with the injury. And at that point, that leadership he had provided that particular team was impressive. He's gone to a level that I'm not sure anybody expected now as you get ready to play this fall.
Yes, and you know you talk about that leadership. I tell Marvin, when I talk to him about leadership, be natural, be yourself. Lead by example. That's what you need. That's a great leader. Go out and prove it in everyday life. And I say, we are going to hold you to that standard, Marvin, and you need to hold yourself to that standard, first of all. And he's the type of kid, he accepts the challenge, not only in football, you know, off the field with his teammates. And I really enjoy this kid because he's a very good young man. He's very thoughtful, doing things the right way. And I told him, I said, man, we're going to hold your foot to the fire, me and Coach Norvell, because you came back for that reason.
Coach, I got to tell you something, though. The last time we had Big Marvin on the show, and he's one of our favorites, we were asking him about staying in shape during this pandemic. And he said, you know, I got this big old hill that I run up this hill. And he says, you know, some of my teammates have come over. He said, the problem is, you know, I'm a pretty big guy trying to get up that hill, and all these wide receivers go flying by me, and they're talking trash to me as I'm going up there. And I'm saying, man, you can't talk trash to Marvin now, because once you get between the lines, 21 will put a hurting on you. He goes, yeah, I remind him of that. So, you know, he's a special player, man. He could have taken the money and gone to the NFL and said, hey, listen, catch you guys later. But he came back for a reason. He wants to get Florida State back to greatness again, and that takes a special person that said, hey, you know what, I'll worry about me later. Let me take care of this football team. And you can't have enough of those kind of guys in the locker room.
That's right. And that tells you something about the young man. He had, he had an opportunity to leave Florida State, but he wanted to come back and help Florida State get back to prominence, doing the right things and bringing more recruits in here. And to me, that's a leader. And also, that's someone that loved their program. People talk about, I love this program. Marvin loved this program also. It's amazing. Last year, after we played the Boston College, we got back late that night. The first person was down there screaming, oh, guys, great job, was Marvin that night. He's just, 3 days from operation. Mm-hmm. And so the young man loves the program. There's no doubt. You can't question that. And I tell him, I say, keep being yourself. Keep being Marvin Wilson. Keep being natural. And the leadership, let it be natural.
Hey, Coach, we got an issue that has developed in the last couple of weeks on this program that Pack and I have, and actually Mark is the one at the forefront of this. Now, Pack, I want you to explain to Odell exactly where we came upon this issue and what can we do in his mind to correct it, I guess.
Which issue is this? There's plenty to pick from.
What issues?
Yeah.
Well, that's the BB helmet.
Oh, the helmet. Yeah. We just talked to Danny Cannell, and I told him we were showing some old highlights from the 90s with Charlie Ward as well. And, Coach, I got to tell you something. The old school Florida State helmet, I mean the real gold. When you guys came out of the tunnel with those now, you were already fast, but it looked even faster. And you still got sweet-looking unis. But I think Florida State needs to go back old school 80s and 90s Bowden gold helmet. That's just a guy sitting on the couch watching a bunch of games. That's just our opinion to you.
Well, my opinion to you all, I never looked at it that way, but if it's going to help us win a couple more games, let's go back to it.
Whatever it takes. I love it. Well, listen, we always enjoy having you on the program, man, and you are good people, and again, we're all hoping to do our part so you guys can go do your part on the football field, but again, stay safe, stay healthy, and just keep on doing the good things, man.
Oh, thank you guys again. I appreciate you. And like I said before, everybody must do their part, everybody, for us to get this thing rolling in the United States of America, play football. And that's very important. I really appreciate you guys. And you guys stay safe also. Amen. See you guys this fall.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
All right, Coach. Look forward to it. Odell Hagans, the longest tenured assistant in FBS football and a real treasure now. A guy who is all the way Florida State. And he's part of the Bowden Dynasty, by the way, which starts our ACC Network takeover programming at 10 o'clock this morning following Packer and Durham. You're going to get some great games. You're going to get football games, softball games. There's women's basketball. There's the ACC tournament semifinal win in Charlotte. A couple of years ago when Florida State upset Virginia at the Spectrum Center in Uptown. Tomorrow is Georgia Tech, but it's all Noles today. And when we come back, we're going to dive into this 2020 football schedule. Packers got winners and losers. How about that? Old Nick Bakay, old school. Winners, losers, and push. We'll come back, talk about the schedule right after this on ACC Network.
This is the Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. It's a Thursday. It is a Florida State takeover. Malik Osborne coming up here in about 10 minutes. But the real giant story of the day, which started yesterday afternoon, was the ACC's announcement that it's going to be 10 plus 1 from a football schedule perspective in a perfect world. And I emphasize again, we all hope to have football the week of September the 7th. We got to do our part, as Coach Odell Hagans just mentioned. But Wes, I went through the list of the schedule, and I gave you a couple that I thought from a winner standpoint caught breaks with the schedule. Again, you never know how good anybody's going to be. Again, this is all having fun, hopefully 5 weeks before kickoff. But I told you I thought NC State and North Carolina caught really good breaks the way the schedule worked. There are some teams, though, that are less fortunate. You mentioned Boston College last hour. Totally agree with you 100%. I would also put Wake Forest on this list because the Demon Deeks home schedule is spectacular. However, it's Clemson, it's Notre Dame, it's Miami, Virginia Tech, and Virginia. I can tell you all five of those teams I think are going to be really, really good. And you still got Louisville and North Carolina on the road, and both of those teams expect to be really, really good. That is a tough schedule for the Wake Forest Demon Deacons.
Yeah, it is. And it's one that now, you know, Pack, here's the thing. You talk about, and we've had Dave Clawson on talking about the return. We've had Boogie Basham join us, right? But now you're really, really going to count on, you know, some young guys in the back end. Remember the linebacking, you know, revitalization at linebacker? Wake Forest went through a significant change in terms of teams they're now going to play. You mentioned the home slate. Remember John Curry was talking about how great their home schedule was last year, and guess what? And here's the other thing, too, and I mentioned this in hour one. We don't know about the Notre Dame game in Charlotte. I know the Charlotte Sports Foundation, that's the Duke Mayonnaise Bowl. Danny Morrison's involved with that, our old friend from Wofford and the commissioner of the Southern Conference, used to work for the Panthers. I mean, there's all sorts of different elements in this. So I'm looking at kind of how those neutral site games and Notre Dame, Georgia Tech, and Atlanta scheduled for Mercedes-Benz. You know, and obviously the fan equation factors into some of that, but boy, Wake did go through an upgrade on the schedule. Now, there's no question. It got a lot tougher for Dave Clawson's club yesterday.
The other group that I would put under the loser category schedule-wise is Gary Stokin's crowd of the Chick-fil-A, because they basically lost three really fun games. And again, this all has an ACC tie-in with Virginia taking on Georgia, Florida State, West Virginia, North Carolina, Auburn. And, I mean, that's really in your neck of the woods. And given that thing I mentioned about a half an hour or so ago, that Notre Dame being in the league from a football perspective is going to be the headliner. But I really think maybe an underlying story is going to be the way the ACC worded the plus one in terms of the non-conference games. These are games likely lost. And you can see at Atlanta on there three times. So, you know, when I'm making this list yesterday, going through the, you know, the thumbs up, thumbs down, the Chick-fil-A Classic, and again, Gary Stokin and his guys have done a phenomenal job. I mean, not good, phenomenal job putting together the relationships, ACC, SEC, and all those kinds of matchups in Atlanta, which is a hotbed for college football. To lose potentially those three games, that's a kick. That's a tough day is what that is.
Yeah, and this is a hard pill to swallow for Atlanta. And having lived here in this area since 1995, I'll tell you that this has been a tough go for the city, because not only did the Final Four not show up here back, as you know, in April, now you turn around and the kickoff to the college football season is sidetracked. As I mentioned, the Notre Dame-Georgia Tech game that's also scheduled for Mercedes-Benz, ironically scheduled that. The original schedule had that game the weekend of what has now been the rescheduling of the Masters as well. So you're talking about another a situation where we don't know about fans and we don't know about participants. And then, let's be honest, Southeastern Conference championship games in this city. Also, you're looking at the Peach Bowl being a part of the New Year's Six as well. All these elements in this city in particular have been a real dent to not only Gary and his group, but Dan Corso, who's a Florida State grad, Lee's son, always good to be the son of somebody, right, Pac?
That's right.
And he is the executive director and president of the Atlanta Sports Council. And Dan's a longtime friend, too. And you feel for these guys here now. They do a great job. But to lose the Final Four, to lose these games, you know, and have the ones still left on the schedule kind of in the balance at this point, it's a tough knock for this market. And I think I heard Gary say in an interview on SiriusXM on ESPNU Radio 84 that the projected loss could be towards $100 million if they go through the year and don't even get the bowl game played. So if you lose the other game scheduled, the Georgia Tech-Notre Dame game, and then move on to the SEC title game and maybe the Peach Bowl at the end of the calendar year, you're looking at somewhere near $100 million since before the Final Four.
That's why they're on my list. I also put another category, Wes, and that is teams that now have a tougher road. And there's two on here, and it's the two teams that played for the ACC championship last year, Clemson and Virginia. Now, don't feel sorry for the Tigers. They're still going to be favored in every game they play as they come through the tunnel. But when you look at Clemson's schedule, you know, they lose Louisville at home. They've never lost to Louisville in football, ever. They lose NC State. They've only beaten the Wolfpack 15 of the last 16 times. Then they add Miami and Pittsburgh, who I expect both of them to be really good, and a road trip to Virginia Tech. And by the way, for the record, a Brian Ives special yesterday, Clemson has never beaten Miami at home, and they've never beaten Pittsburgh in Death Valley. They get both of them this year at their place. So I think Clemson's road got tougher yesterday. But again, as I mentioned, they're going to be favored to win every game they play. So you take it for whatever it's worth. And the flip side is with Virginia, I just look at their schedule and say, man, at Florida State, at Virginia Tech, at Miami, at Clemson. yikes. I mean, you know, grab your popcorn. That is a tough, tough road schedule if you're the Hoos. So I think the two teams that played in the ACC championship game last year got dealt a little tougher hand than they had 24 hours prior.
And, Pac, look at the just look at the quarterbacks they're going to have to play.
Yep.
I mean, you know, certainly we hope, you know, Yurkovich is ruled eligible at Boston College to play. It seemingly would be just a matter of paperwork, but hadn't happened yet. You're going to play Chase Bryce, Mikhail Cunningham, Sam Howell, Trevor Lawrence, James Blackman, De'Eriq King, Hendon Hooker, and Sam Hartman. You better get your – Robert and I mean, the defense we know might be pretty good in Charlottesville. The offense will have to be tuned up too because, I mean, you're playing as good a group of quarterbacks as maybe anybody in the country just from a defensive perspective for Bronco Mendenhall's team.
100% agree. That's why I put those two on there from just a tougher standpoint. Again, you know, when we talked to Bronco Mendenhall out the farm when he was pointing out Ace and Coco to us, he felt good about his quarterback room. Even a lot of folks outside his program are going, man, who's going to be quarterback for Virginia? He seemed to be very confident about that group. And if they get good quarterback play, again, the foundation is there for Virginia to stick their nose in people's business. But that road schedule is legit now. You better bring your A game and let it rip. But, again, I think Clemson's schedule became tougher. I think Virginia's schedule became tougher. But, again, some good, some bad, and some we'll see. But – you know, that's just nothing more than speculation as we sit here basically 6 weeks away from kickoff, 5 weeks away.
Yep. When Packer and Durham continues, the takeover continues for Florida State. Two quarterbacks, a longtime football assistant. Now we're going to go to a guy who has made some impact in hoops, right? Malik Osborne. Played last year for Leonard Hamilton's team, will be a huge factor in what the Noles are in 2021. We'll talk to the Seminole forward when the FSU takeover continues with Packer and Durham on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. The Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham. All about Florida State, all about the Noles today, all about the Jackets tomorrow, but today it's all about FSU. We've gone heavy football on you, and rightfully so, since football's in the air. But, West Durham, hoops is a major factor at Florida State, both the men and the women taking care of business. Of course, Leonard Hamilton coming off a record-setting season, which ended abruptly. And a gentleman that joined us earlier this year, Malik Osborne, is back for more. We've had a lot of good Florida State student athletes, man. They're doing something right down there in Tallahassee. Malik, first of all, we always appreciate the time. I hope you're well this crazy pandemic since you guys won the ACC tournament without even basically doing warm-up drills. It's been upside down since the middle of March, but I hope you're doing well.
Yes, sir. I'm doing well. I hope you guys are doing well as well.
We are. And before Wes gets going with all X's and O's, because I know he wants to talk hoops with you, congratulations on being on part of this special presidential task force, the anti-racism task force. I know that's been something that means something close to your heart. And, of course, the way you guys have embraced Black Lives Matter and the outpouring of support, I mean, that's got to feel good.
Yeah, it's definitely an honor. I'm definitely blessed to be a part of such a exclusive task group. I mean, I'm just happy to be a part of great minds that are looking to make a change, and I'm just honored and blessed to be one of those selections to be making those decisions and putting my thoughts together with theirs. So it's truly an honor, truly a blessing, and I'm excited to get to working with those people as well.
Malik, for a veteran guy, this has been a completely different offseason than ever before, really in our lifetimes. So what have you learned from it, and what do you think the impact in the upcoming season it'll have?
Well, the main thing I learned from this unusual offseason is discipline. Discipline was key. It still is key. Just being able to put yourself to stay in shape, being able to work on your skill sets, on what you need to, you know, work on the skill sets that are needed of you for the upcoming season. I mean, discipline was just a major key, and now that we're all back together, the discipline still stands, but now it's like we're just we're just ready to work. This upcoming season, we all know that it's going to take a lot of mental toughness and even more discipline, because we could potentially play a season without fans. So we're getting mentally trained for that, as well as to making our own energy and just getting ready to stay the Florida State way, regardless of if there's going to be a fan base or not.
Malik, I want to get back to this task force a second, because it really has been phenomenal to watch young people take ownership and understand that, hey, you know what, we've got a platform, but it really does appear that America is listening and understanding mm-hmm. that, hey, listen, you know what, if you don't know the answer, you know, keep your mouth shut and keep your ears open and pay attention. You might learn something. Given the fact that you're really front and center with all this, do you even sense that, hey, it is different this go around, that when I say something about what I've been through or what we're going through and everything else, that people are paying more attention now than ever before?
Yes, I do think that it is a sense. Like, I do think there's an emphasis on those on racial issues and social injustice. Just the fact that, you know, that it's all out in public now. So now the spotlight is already on it. So now I'm just being a part of this task force, you know, gives us, lets our voice have more meaning. You know, what we say is taken a little more seriously. And that's what the best part about being a part of the task force, being able to hear the problems of other people and being able to use our voice to actually speak up and make a change. And like I said, it's truly an honor and a blessing to be part of such a group that has such power and is able to make a change for the better for our university and for the people of the university. So like I said, I'm very excited to start working. I'm very blessed to be in such a situation, to be a part of such a task force. So I'm just, like I said, I'm ready to start working and start making a change for the better for the university.
Malik, it's interesting because Florida State is a place where athletics certainly is one of the priorities. It's one of the more marquee programs or departments, if you will, at the university. And it's regarded that way nationally, right?
Right.
It's also impressive to me that the collaborative and collection of student athletes that came together of all races, all religions, to form this, to help this project almost exclamate itself, not just in the state of Florida and Tallahassee, but nationally too. I mean, from basketball to football to, and I know there were student athletes across the board from a variety of sports now that have joined mm-hmm. this movement to try and make an impact, as I said earlier, not just statewide or regionally, but nationally, it looks like.
Right, right. The student athletes around here definitely, you know what I'm saying? They think more beyond just a sport. They're all about justice. I mean, the whole campus almost feels like a family. Everybody is for each other, and especially with the student athletes as well. We all see each other as a big family. So when something's not, when there's certain treatment that isn't, you know, right towards a group of people or a person that just happens to be their friend, I mean, they're going to speak up regardless of the race or ethnicity. So that's what's really special about Florida State. The student athletes are very involved when it comes to social injustice. They all want to use their voice to speak up, and they all like to use their voice for change. And that's what I love about the university. It doesn't feel just like a school. It just feels like a big family because everybody is willing to stick up for the next person.
Malik, I want to take you back to March to the Greensboro Coliseum. and Wes and I have been in this league for a long, long time, and the ACC tournament is a special place, especially when mm-hmm. it's in Greensboro, just given its tradition and history. But right. I'm telling you, in my lifetime, and we will never see what you guys experienced when you come out to do the warm-up drills, you're getting ready to play Clemson, and you know, you guys have had a great year. Everybody knows it's the Noles. And again, even the arena, right? Between all the you know, the tarps and, you know, just family and friends. You got a pep band on one end, a pep band on the other, a handful of media people, and you're doing a warm-up drill. There's 10 minutes to go till tip. You got your mindset. You're ready to play. You know it's going to be a tough game. And all of a sudden, poof, it's gone. I mean, you'll never have another game like that in your life. Or another experience from a basketball perspective like that. At least I hope you don't, because we will mm-hmm. never see anything like that. You guys go back to the locker room, and next thing you know, you're coming back out and you're accepting a trophy. You're like, man, we want to play. How difficult right. was that just from a mental standpoint to know, wait a minute, man, this is not what we're supposed to do, but you knew it was going to be kind of crazy to begin with.
Oh, man. I mean, the whole experience was, like you said, it was a unique one. The coaches already prepared us mentally that there might be zero to there might be your parents or no fans at all. So we kind of were prepared for that, but we knew that we already had one mission in mind, and that was just to win. And so we went out there with the possibility knowing that we wouldn't have no fans, but we just wanted to go out there and play and win and, you know, just earn the trophy. I mean, yes, we're honored to have the trophy and receive the trophy, but knowing my team, knowing the mentality that we have, is we wanted to earn it. We wanted to earn it. And if it happened, it happened. If it didn't, it didn't. But we went out there fighting and giving our best shot. So that was a very tough and unusual experience, you know, getting hyped up, going through your normal routine, looking to play Clemson again, which is also a very good team. And, you know, you out in the warm-ups, and then you don't see the opposing team, and then, you know, your strength and conditioning coach is telling you to come to the locker room because coach has a message for you. And at that point, you kind of already know what's about to happen, but you're kind of praying that it doesn't happen. And then you get into the locker room, and then you hear that the season's over, but you got to accept the trophy. So it was difficult. It definitely was difficult because it's something that nobody on the team or probably even on the staff has been through. But, you know, we – the coach and staff, like I said, they're really good at, like, just keeping us going, saying that we just got to roll with the punches and this isn't going to stop us. We still got a mission in mind, regardless if it's this year or next year. So we just kind of just accepted the fate and then just, you know, also accept the fact that we're just going to have to move past this and just grow from it.
That's well said. Malik, there's one other thing Mark and I got to clear up here before we let you go, and that is the last time he joined us, Leonard Hamilton told us, he said, y'all don't have me on the show enough. Y'all need to have me on the show more. And, you know, not a lot we can do about that. And we got you on today, so if Coach Hamilton gets mad at us for not having him on the show, then is it okay if we tell him we had you instead of him?
I mean, it might sit right with him for a moment, but I know he wants to get out here and show you some of his gospel singing, so I can't blame him for being upset for not being invited to the show. He's always wanted to display his gospel singing. We get to hear it every day, so I know he just wants to put it on for the world. So, all right, this is going to do, but I'm pretty sure he's going to be looking for his invites coming very soon.
Hey, Malik, though, you got to admit, when your head coach has his own record label, that's pretty cool now. I mean, there are not many guys bringing that to the table in college basketball.
Right. That's a unique one. He always invites us to join his label, but like I said, I tell him I need more practice. So when I get there, that's what I'm with Mr. Hamilton.
I love it. Well, keep up the great work, man. Stay safe, and again, we look forward to a hoop season at some point in time.
Yes, sir. You guys stay safe, too. Thank you guys for having me.
All right. Malik Osborne, the Florida State forward, joining us here on the FSU Takeover on ACC Network. The Bowden Dynasty starts our coverage of Florida State following our show at the top of the hour, and we still got a final segment to go. In fact, Pac, I'm going to tell you why the FSU takeover is important to me today, by the way. I'll share that with you when we come back, along with maybe a final word or two about the ACC football schedule. By the way, the ACC last night also captured the top three in another list. I'll share that with you when we come back. Final stretch of the Thursday edition. And we'll tell you about Georgia Tech takeover tomorrow, right after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, final segment of a Florida State takeover Thursday. Tomorrow, it's all about Georgia Tech. All four guests today, outstanding. Charlie Ward, Danny Cannell making their debuts. They were terrific. No surprise there. Coach O, always love having him on here. Odell Higgins is fantastic. Malik Osborne, really a talented and impressive dude. I mean, we've had him on now a couple times, and we know he's a really terrific player, but you can tell he's a dude of substance, man. He's all part of it, which what's all about. Young people taking ownership. All right, Wes, what you got for me?
Tomorrow on this show, by the way, Mark Teixeira, Georgia Tech alum, proud alum, baseball star, part of our ESPN baseball coverage will join us. Heisman Trophy runner-up and one of the best quarterbacks in ACC history. Joe Hamilton will be here as part of the show. And ladies and gentlemen, aren't you lucky? A piece of Americana will be here. The great Bobby Crimmins. And we think it'll be on FaceTime.
He'll be making his debut on the show, and he will be all over. He'll make fun of both of us, which is what he does, and that's why we love him. But really, all three of those guys will be making their debut. Mark Teixeira, we're going a little baseball with you and all that stuff, so that'll all be great. Yeah. Speaking of Georgia Tech, and I know it's a Florida State day. We'll get back to Knowles in a second. I did receive this yesterday in the mail from Georgia Tech. And I opened it up because, you know, we've already received a great care package from Georgia Tech with merchandise and mask and all that stuff. And there was a singular mask in here. So, Wes, I just assume this is part of the John Swofford announcement yesterday of the 10 plus one. This must be the plus one from Georgia Tech. So we will add that to our face mask list. And we do appreciate Georgia Tech sending that. But we are now acquiring quite a list and collection of facial mask, and be sure, as Coach O told you, now wear your mask. You now really, really need to do your part in not only the ACC footprint, but around the country, about us doing our job so we can enjoy college football, college sports, all sports coming up hopefully in the next 4 or 5 weeks.
By the way, the FSU takeover starts here at 10 o'clock. The Bowden Dynasty at 12 noon, that ACC basketball semifinal from Charlotte I spoke of earlier, where Florida State upset Virginia, who had won the regular season. That's a great ball game. Then you'll get women's basketball at 1:30, women's soccer at 3:30. The ACC Tradition Show is at 5:30. The 2013 ACC Championship in basketball and the 2005 football championship all coming up at at 6 o'clock and at 9 o'clock. Those are both football games. The basketball game is the 12 noon start of the semifinals. So those are football titles. David Cutcliffe's Duke team in 2013 and of course the 2005 ACC championship game all coming up. Those are that 2005 championship game is the first ever ACC football championship game pack in Jacksonville. So we'll have that for you coming up here on the FSU Takeover, which, by the way, is very important for me today because FSU, for about 3.5 years, had me take over. Know what I mean, Pac? My daughter, Emily, just graduated from Florida State in May. She graduated with a degree in public policy and political science, and today already been employed technically by Lewis Burke & Associates in D.C. since July, but working virtually from Atlanta. Today she makes her way to D.C. to start work for Lewis Burke & Associates as a legislative research assistant. So thrilled for Emily and the great things that happened for her at Florida State, and she got her degree. And you know what they say, Pac, when you get the degree, you know what that means? Off the payroll.
Oh, come on, Dad. What's wrong with you, Dad? I need a couple extra C notes to get through the month, Dad. Come on, we know better than that. Wes, if you think she's off the payroll, you are sadly mistaken.
I know. But no, we're thrilled for her and happy and couldn't be prouder as she gets ready to go to D.C. to start work there. So congratulations to Emily. She was my FSU takeover for sure.
That is nice, though. I mean, again, you get your degree, you move on. She's doing something she loves to do. She's going to really the hot spot of what all that's about, public policy. So that's very cool. That's what it's all about, man.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. And you get to wrap it up. Yeah, Clemson takeover. Gigi was a year early. Emerson, next year on the Clemson takeover, we'll be able to show Emmy when she finishes up, right?
That is the plan, and I will tell you, the out-of-state tuition was paid yesterday, so President Clemens has that in the bank. Everything's good to go. We're rooting for in-person classes like that I think everybody across the country is, and I had a great exchange with President Clemens over the weekend on a number of topics, and so they're hopeful to have in-person classes. The first month is going to be online. But hey, it's all paid for at this point in time. And again, we're hoping for the best. But, you know, I keep going back to this. I probably mentioned this 3 or 4 times every show, but there's a reason for it. All of us need to do our part. I cannot emphasize that enough. But we're having fun talking about football schedules, and man, we all hope we can do the 10 plus 1 from an ACC perspective. Wes, we still have work to do. And, you know, when we go back to that John Swofford statement that we played in the first segment of the show, the biggest word in sports is if, I-F. And the word if was used in that statement. And if you go back and read that again, that if part is really important because it's all about health and safety. And that is what we all have to do between now and hopefully September 5th, 6th, 7th, whenever we start this thing.
Yeah, exactly right. And I think the ACC releasing a football schedule now, it was asked yesterday, and I know some folks are wondering, well, when are we going to get the actual dates? That's after it's poured over by the television partners, not only in the ACC, but certainly also with the inclusion of Notre Dame. NBC will have some say-so on that, so we'll get to that. And those dates will be released, so the order will still be to come, and I'm sure that'll also be incumbent upon what we hear from the Southeastern Conference and the Big 12 in the coming days as well, Mark.
Yeah, I suspect, like I said, to me, the underlying story that brewed yesterday, up and above the headline that Notre Dame's now joined a conference in football for at least 1 year, and the schedules which we've alluded to for the last 2 hours, but that whole plus one has really put a pressure, I think, on the SEC in particular that, hey, listen, we're good to go to play. Tag, you're it, big boys. Y'all want to go play some football? Let's go. And, you know, since this college football playoff era has started, Wes, we start talking about the rivalry games at the end of the year with Georgia Tech and Georgia, Clemson, South Carolina, Louisville, Kentucky, and Florida State and Florida. The ACC is 15-9 in those games against the SEC. In those rivalry games since the start of the college football playoff era. So, you know, the league wants to play. Now we want to find out if somebody else wants to join in. That will be an underlying story as we move forward.
Well, when you don't think it's a busy day, it sometimes turns into one. We'll see what we have for you tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. on Georgia Tech Takeover Day. Drew, Josh, Jen, thanks as always for a great show. We'll see you tomorrow morning on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham.